from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who says that whether you have a dog named Toto, you're a fan of Toto, you see, I don't know if they still tour, they're still together, or you've ironically named your cat or your fish, or you've ironically named another, being in your life Toto, I'm here with a Toto of goofing around, friendly banter, creaky dulcets, and pointless meanders to help you fall asleep, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And regular listeners, these are the ways we keep the show going. So if you could listen through the credits and then, start drifting off, or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D, the double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available, relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey, everybody. I'm going to be talking to Stan later in the show about our new sponsor, Quip, which is an electric toothbrush that Sophia and I have been using in our personal life before. We've been Quip customers for over 2 years. So I'm excited to work with Quip. I'm excited for you to get a Quip. So make sure to listen to the spot in the middle of the show here where I talk to Stan about I give Stan a toothbrush. But you can get your own Quip. You just go to getquip.com/sleep. You'll get your first refill pack for free with your Quip electric toothbrush. That's getquip.com/sleep. GETQUIP.com/sleep. But don't miss Stan talking about toothbrush. I mean, what could be better, right? Thanks, everybody. Mr. Bard, there's a bunch of people who help out on this podcast. Whom are this they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure you're subscribed to the show. However you consume it, then it means the show comes to you automatically. Some apps will even, you know, make sure the show's ready to go for you or alert you. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, routine, whatever's keeping you awake. I'm going to try to distract you from that. And the way I'm going to do it is I get this nice, safe place set up for you. I've set the place. The place is set, and I'm setting the place. And, I'm smoothing it. I'm patting it. I'm rubbing it down. I'm saying safe place. And what I propose to do is to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, silly behavior. I'll be behaving sillily. When was the last time we talked about silly string? I'm not sure. I don't know if I have talked. We'll talk. Maybe we'll talk about that. But in this show, there's no strings attached, except for, when I pretend I'm our friend with the Pinocchio, and then I say, I got no strings to hold me down. And I don't know, in the context of a sleep podcast, I was hoping a metaphor would make itself apparent, but I whether you're made of wood or, you're organic, you say Scoot's wood is organic. Well, would you like to get a good night's sleep? Because I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. That's why I make this show. Now, if you're new, a couple of things to know. It doesn't work for everybody. And it rarely, so for some people, it works on the first try. For majority of listeners, it takes two or three tries because, of course, you're skeptical. And then, of course, you're approaching and you're saying, what is this? What is this person talking about? They were trying to make a point about Pinocchio. They're talking about silly string. They kind of change it. They don't make a lot of sense. There's creaky dulcets and aforementioned pointless meanders. I think his vocabulary, it just needs some tuning. He has a vocabulary, but I don't know if his usage of the vocabulary. And I say, yes, correct. Welcome. So give it a few tries. See how it goes. Maybe if you're comfortable, just kick back and observe, you know, the podcast like the sky or like, a gently flowing river. You say, oh, I see that leaf there floating in the river. Oh, there's a bubble. Oh, yeah, look at it flowing around that rock. If that's a way to consume it. But you could consume it however you wish. Just if you're new, just see how it goes. I really do want to help it, and I wish this podcast worked for everybody. I mean, as a matter of fact, I wish for me and everyone else in the world, I could just do something as simply as say, hey, you really deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve to be treated with dignity and respect all day long and at bedtime. You deserve some comforts. And now through a magical process, that it's just, I'm going to count down from 10 and you'll be asleep. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you'd be asleep. That would be excellent. It would be efficient for everyone involved. And I guess it wouldn't be super efficient for me is the fact I would only have to do it once, but then you'd say, well, Scoots, that's it. We don't need to listen. I'd say, okay, well, then I don't get to make my silly stories. But unfortunately, I found what I need at bedtime is a friend, is some comfort. And I also need, even if it's not a bedtime routine, it's something to make bedtime feel good, or at least less of a rigmarole, less of a hassle, less serious. And that's my goal with the show, if you're new. And you see, you say, okay, I get it now. Or say, well, I prefer something a little bit more, whatever. You could choose. So that's one thing. If you're new, structurally what to expect. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free. Over 300 old episodes free. And so that's, then there's the intro, which we're maybe halfway through. The intro is about 12 minutes of me trying to explain what the podcast is, make a metaphor about the podcast, go off topic, earn your trust, make you feel comfortable, maybe make you laugh or put a smile on your face. And it's a show within a show. Some people fall asleep during the intro. Lots of people just use it as their wind down or as they're getting ready for bed. Some people skip the intros. More and more people I hear listen to the intro during the day or the whole show because it's just part of, they say, well, I need a break during the day. So however you use it, the intro is kind of just a way, it's just a familiar friend or a new friend if you'd consider that. Or a new associate. Let's just start there. Maybe I could apply to be your bore associate or your assistant borer. Assistant to the borer. Okay, but the boring part of my brain just said assistant luller. Assistant to the luller. Okay. I'll get those applications in. You know how I am with getting paperwork done right away. Yeah, but I could. How about I assist you via lulls and boredom? So that's the intro. Then there's some business tucked in between the intro and the show. Then tonight we'll be talking about The Good Place. What a good place to sleep. We'll be talking about episode 4 of The Good Place. But mostly in a way of saying, hey, what was written on that chalkboard? Who is that person? Or what was it going on at that time? Or where do you purchase something like that? So kind of an indirect, here's the thing. A Good Place episode's, 23 minutes long? I'll be talking about the episode for about 44 minutes. Now, some of that will be facts that came up in the episode. But you see, you're talking about episode of Good Place, The Good Place and Halftime. I say about, you know, it sounds about right. I mean, in fact, it's a little bit different because sometimes I'll pause it and then, you know, spend 30 minutes saying, what does that say? Or what is that up there? What books are on that bookshelf? So that's what we'll do. It'll be very lulling and soothing and ideally comforting. And then we have some thank yous at the end. So that's a structure show. This is a podcast you don't need to listen to. You can. I'll be here for an hour giving it my all to keep you company. But you don't have to listen. There's no pressure. Ideally, it's just distracting enough to take your mind off of stuff, but not so interesting that you got to say, well, I really need to hear about Scoots' thoughts about Chidi's tie this week, especially, you know, considering Scoots' fashion sense or, you know, tie shape. Yeah, that's not something I'll probably be talking about this week, but at some point I may say, well, what about the shapes? Is that some sort of subtextual? No. They just got a hold of me from my brain. They said, of course not. And I'd say, well, it is a layer of the show and the stories. It is important to me. Okay, well, we don't need to argue about this in front of the new list. Okay, you're right. Well, it's not an argument. I was just discussing. I was saying, I like looking at Chi, you know, how the characters are dressed. Oh, so do I. Like when we, like, there is, Eleanor has a lot of different, types of light on her shirts this season, or her outfits, like lightning bolts and suns and moons, but I don't think it's universal. So kind of a theme, maybe, possibly. Okay, so that'll be the discussion of The Good Place. Where was I? I think I got lost in one of my own thoughts. I was explaining about the structure. Oh, how you don't need to listen to it. Okay, so yeah. Clearly, you can kind of listen to me, but if you need to listen, if you need a friend in the deep, dark night, I'm here. I'm here for a full 60 minutes. You could queue up another episode if you need it, if you can't sleep and you just need a companion, an assistant to the luller. I'll be here assisting with the lulls and the pointless meanders. So you don't need to listen, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep, kind of for the reasons I just said. I'm here to keep you company. You fall asleep when you're ready to, or as you drift off, just naturally, slowly drift away. I think that's it. I guess I'll have to talk about Silly String another time, because it's like a seasonal thing, like around Halloween. I think parents just call it annoying, unless you're at a public park, and then public park people, maintenance people say annoying string, you should call it. I mean, maybe one day it'll be biodegradable or something, or like new, we'll say, what's filled with organic ingredients? Compost, how about that? Silly compost string. Yeah, you know, see, it's pasteurized. It's a spray foam that sprays out in a string. Yeah. I don't know, like, the silly thing about it is you spray, that it sprays, it's in an aerosol-type can. And it is pretty silly, because most of the time people are chasing each other around, spraying one another. I don't know if it's exactly caught, it is a little bit addictive. So you say, well, how much is a can? Well, you probably wait till, like, 2 weeks after Halloween to see if you can get it for, like, 40 cents or something. But yeah, it's a product, see, for some reason it's neon and stuff, but I think normally people sell it around Halloween, or I've always associated it with Halloween. You'd think New Year's Eve would be the best time, but maybe we could get it into like the harvest or what about as part of the spring season and the harvest season? Silly compost string. It's a silly string. But it's also compost, you know, made from compost. We could say, you know, just general, you know, it doesn't have to be that kind of compost. You know, newsprint and coffee grounds or something. And you can spray, go outside, spray it around. Farmers would, we could get into some druid type action. You'd say, come to my fields and spray one another with, you know, also you got to buy it from me. So another revenue source for these farmers. You'd say, have you gone you picking your blueberries or your apples. Now it's time, you know, now the you picking season's over. Now it's time for the field spray. You know, we'll think of a marketing thing for it. And people could just run, you know, you could charge $1 a can or whatever, 50 cents a can. You know, you could do that seasonally. Start off $5 a can at the height of the season. And as it winds down, keep lowering the price. Also, I would get all of it for free, just so you know. And you could have people running around. And you could have, like, spraying each other, one another with silly, you know, or, you know, just an idea. But hopefully tonight, it's more of a mist of thoughts and friendly banter that you can drift into and slowly slip away. So I'm here to help. I really appreciate you checking the show out and coming by. And I work very hard and I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. Thanks so much. And here's a few ways we keep the show going. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area. Not to mention that I live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode, or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, so we're talking season 3, episode 4, The Snowplow of the Good Place. It opens in a bathroom, into the bathroom, through the portal, come Michael and Janet, right from last episode. It's a kind of a very deep indigo blue, the walls, deeper on the second shot than the first shot. And let's see, the keys ring. They're trying to figure out what to do, and, you know, because it went right from last episode. Almost the same. Nat is Janet's dress is purple, so walls are kind of a deep navy. I didn't think to use the two as a point of reference, but this time I am. Michael's keys ring, or the magic keys ring, which we'll find out are magic keys. At first, I thought the wait a second. I'm just noticing. Got to pause it here. I'm just seeing some of the things on the left wall of the bathroom, the announcements. There's one, hey, I'm looking for this person. It's a drawing of a person in a turtleneck. There's also piano lessons, something, film screening. That one I can't quite make out. Two different piano lesson flyers in green and yellow. But who is this person they're looking for in the black turtleneck? I wonder. Wonder if that's a hint or it's just there. Oh, but so the keys ring, not the keychain. It's the judge, Maya Rudolph. She's using her hands a lot again in different ways than the last episode. She's not happy. And Michael, they try to pretend it's a bad cell phone signal. She says, it's a magical key, Dinky Poos. I know that it has perfect service. Then they get to work. They leave the restroom. It cuts to a whole empty floor. Michael says, what was on this floor? Why is it empty? And Jan says, oh, it's a journalism floor. And Michael says, bad for the world, good for us. Then they say, oh, this was important expository information. They say there's no way to track point totals here up where we are, which I didn't know. Glow squeaky chin. Oh, Eleanor has a glow squeaky chin. Or as a, what really is Eleanor has a squeaky chair. Which you can, you gotta watch these episodes for the payoffs of the jokes. They've begun stage two of the study. Chair. Oh, yeah. Then Jason kind of underlines Eleanor's joke. Then it opens. Chapter 30. Jason really is this episode. Man, he's crushing it. Let's see. Concepts at right and wrong, conduct, truth, justice, beliefs. These are probably things from the chalkboard. Oh, yeah. Jason rules. This is one of the best jokes in all three seasons with Cupcakes and Jason. So watch the episode. There's just a couple high points for Jason in this. But this was one of the high points in all three seasons for me. Yeah, just really, really funny. Then they all say ventral medial prefrontal cortex. Eleanor talks about how she avoids group functions. Jaguars rule. Then there's a couple of these. I don't know if this is a montage or what do they call it, but it's like it shows time passing in four rectangles with four different things. Kind of something, you know, layover from the 60s, 70s gets used. It's fun. In the first four rectangles, the first in the left-hand corner is Chidi teaching. Below him is Eleanor with a bandana and stuff with wires. She's undergoing through something. Chidi's shot continues to change from Socrates to Plato to Aristotle. There's also a shot in the upper right corner of Tahani focusing on learning or something. And then the bottom right is Simone studying, like, wavelengths on her computer. Then it's 3 months later. Oh, also, okay, we're in the office. A lot of good details in this episode. So we're at the journalism office. Michael and Janet are working, and we see there's a lot of Post-its. So that's, like, already a payoff from how they're keeping score. Couldn't view all of them. But the ones I did view, let's see, one has just Chidi, and then he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 check marks, then a line down the middle, and then two. So I don't know if those were good check marks and bad check marks. This says sleepy, one says, and then I couldn't read the rest. Tahani dropping again. Like, oh boy, her score's dropping. Then there's another one with Chidi with star, dash, star, dash, star. And then another line with a star. Another thing says, Tahani looks in A. Then something, I put a question mark and then hash marks, or hatch marks, they call them, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. You know, four lines with a line through it. Jason mentions Jaguars. I didn't have the ability to count those, but there's lots of hash marks. And then there's a note Janet wrote. Jason is very, I would assume it's S-E-X-Y, but I couldn't see that word. I could only see a smiley face below him. Yeah, so there's a couple of things in the post office and her post-its on their office. Eleanor needs a job, but she also has a Thunderbolt glitter shirt, which I think I mentioned in the intro is like, I don't know if her clothing is themed towards celestial bodies this season or just an occasional theme. But this episode, it is. But last, I said, oh, some of that embroidery that I didn't pay enough attention to, Scoots. Then they go to a cafe lottery store. This is in Australia. And Michael kind of tells Janet about a snowplow analogy. We're going to help Eleanor drive along the road of improvement. And just so you know, the 186 from the bottom lottery ticket is a winning one. We cut to Eleanor. She has won 18 grand. Another worthy reason, just this one moment after that, to watch the entire episode. There's so many gems in here. Then Chidi has more stuff on the board. Belief in the soul, mortal, material, just like body, pleasure is purpose of life. Animals try to avoid it as much, you know, pain in the butts as possible. Oh, this must have been another series of four shots. Because then we see Eleanor. She's kind of, I didn't have a chance to, she's in a garland head thing, like a garland headband with antlers. And she's eating, she's happy, very happy, participating in some group activity. Yeah, and she has a fortune cookie. There's also holiday decorations up, just so everybody knows. Then on the top right is the team eating Chinese takeout. Also on the bottom left, Eleanor's eating Chinese takeout. I don't know if this was this the bottom right is Michael and Janet. They have so many holiday decorations. Just in this shot, we see a snowman, Nora. They're wearing Santa hats. Michael's clapping. They think about something that's happening. Here's a reminder for me to look up St. John's University, which I did. Then we see whatever room they're using, this multi-purpose room. I think maybe Simone's multi-purpose room, or maybe Chidi's. There's a decorations, a blue snowflake, like kind of blue, like LED blue, pine tree, not a Christmas tree, but a pine tree with lights on it. There's some silver garland, there's some gold garland. There's also like the chain of paper links you can make as a kid. I don't know if the team made them or the kids made them. Yeah, Jason talks about the zone of time in Clock Land. Tahani talks about Giselle. And Eleanor says, we got it. We always get it. Then she says, why would you want to watch football with Jason? And Tahani explains why. And I said, hubba, hubba. More decorations, light up plastic Santa, one of those old school light up plastic Santas. There's candy canes of all varieties, even light up ones like this plastic Santa. There's bell and ribbon lights. There's newspapers on the racks, but even that has lights on it. There's paper or ornaments, even like those fold out, something you unfold and becomes like, an accordion ornaments that kind of fold out. Lots of socks. I couldn't remember stocking. I put lots of socks on the walls, but those are stockings. There's even like these like fringe ribbons on the desk, poinsettias, and then a wall with post-its. I think it was out of focus. Then we see Tahani. She's at a bar reading. And I don't know what book she's reading because they didn't show the cover. But then we meet one of the Hemsworths. I always thought it was a Helmsworth. I really learned a lot about the Hemsworths this episode. We'll talk about it later. And really, a lot of things I didn't realize and things I didn't know. Like, I'll just tell you. So Miley Cyrus is famous for going out. I thought she was dating... This is how little I knew. I'm not doing jokes. I always thought she was dating on and off or with Thor, Chris Hemsworth. I want to say Helmsworth, though, but it isn't. And but she was with Liam. She's been in relationships with Liam Hemsworth. So every time I pictured them, when people were pro that is a happy couple, I was like, I always pictured her and Thor. And maybe once when I saw a paparazzi shot and I said, oh, well, that's just Thor without the long hair. Turns out I was totally wrong. My world has been, it was like a wrecking ball. Came in, that information came in like that. But we talk about, this is the Larry Hemsworth. He has older sibling or sibling success issues. Eleanor, we see her reading The Republic of Plato. I don't know if this was a series of shots. Then we see Jason. Oh, no, this is another quiet, wonderful Jason moment in his Jags gear. And it's also just good to watch even just the levels of acting because Simone and Chidi are in the background. There also may have been a Descartes ruler on the wall for decoration. Back in the observation station with Michael and Janet, there's real candy canes near the computer. They even had a gingerbread house. There's my note to look up the Hemsworths. We see another series of shots, Eleanor singing happy birthday and holding a cake. We see Chidi smiling. We see Tahani reading Kierkegaard's The Present Age. We see Larry Hemsworth using a highlighter on a book, You're Not So Bad, which I couldn't locate that exists. And then Jason's reading a book about the big farm. And again, man, this is a really layered episode. Another payoff in that scene. But I was so distracted by the payoff, I don't know what book it was other than Big Farm. Let's see. We see Eleanor's happy super bard activate 832. Oh, super board. Chidi says, Superboard activate. It was already 8:32 a.m. Everyone looked very awake. It was 24 degrees Celsius. Lunch was Vegemite and milk. Schedule for the day was a review Kant essay, compare and contrast Jacques Lacan with Chaka Khan, and then review papers. Okay, we also have this big chalkboard. This is a lot of coverage here in the office. In the observation station. So I didn't get everything, but it's describing, it's kind of like they're working with the materials they have on Earth, Janet and Michael. So it says, take sparking spots, flips off anybody, did not lift to shops for 6 weeks and 2 days, holds doors for strangers, hides in bathroom to avoid people, LIES to friends and loved one, believes in kindness, discuss or digress or something, disguises, I don't know what that says, could devolve, couldn't decide, helped others be kind and nice, that's about Chidi, forgets commitments, decides to something, I guess this is Tahani, midday drinks, bad judgment, can be chronically lazy, maybe not. Come, not always to the answer. Something. Great. GTA. I guess it is Jason. Taking things. Wakes before noon. We also see, I think this is on the board. Blake Bortles is number 5. Oh, no. Blake Bortles. Another funny thing. Number 5. This is purchases from gray market vendors, constant positive affirmations, charity for others, 2 squared plus 7 to the E equals 0.0005, A to the lowercase, capital A to the lowercase I, K to the lowercase I, KA squared, vanity, forgiveness, generosity. Then we see a big ring on Tahani. I never looked this up. I said, how much does a carrot weigh? But I didn't see that. Duty, is that what that says? Party. Oh, the party. The Airbnb, H-E-I-R-B-N-B. Everybody meets Larry. Bon voyage. Really worth it. I mean, I guess this episode. Jason's question, did Miley write Wrecking Ball about Chris's brother, Liam? So that would even confuse me more, because the first two or three times I watched this episode, I said, is Liam not a fan of Chris and Miley being together? But I guess it's like that Chris is the most famous, so it's Chris's brother, and Larry's not, you know. Eleanor was in a pink long sleeve shirt with a star that kind of looked like the streaking star from Now You Know, which is NBC property. Michael and Janet are in the wine cellar in white tuxes, kind of undercover caterers. Nathaniel cooks well, caterer to the stars. Vegemite canapes are being served. They're moving to England. Oh, Michael says that, and he stands on his toes when he's talking to Larry, trying to talk him out of it. They talk about Sydney. Can't wait to move. Larry says, then they're like, how are we going to replace Tahani? That's what Eleanor says. Maybe Margot Robbie? And Chidi says, well, it's time to take stock of the study. And she says, what do you mean? Study's over? Are we splitting up? No, we're just taking a break. So Eleanor is a little bit sad. Michael's frustrated. I'll deal with... Oh, then they say, what are we going to do? And Janice says, I'll deal with Sweet Cheeks. I mean, Jason's butt. I mean, Jason. Eleanor has a carafe of wine. Ship always start over. Oh, shrimp, Michael says. She says, always. And he says, what is your study over? And he says, if study means a lot to you, but it means a lot to everyone else, too. Also offered her cocktail sauce. We see Tahani has this cake of a picture of the team. I think taken at the beginning of this episode or last episode. It's of the Brainy Bunch eating cupcakes. So it was this episode. Eleanor says, yeah, that's all. She tries to make a positive speech. It doesn't go well. So she says, cool, I didn't need you anyway. To take the me, sorry. And then she takes her cake. She scoops herself out of the cake. And then she says, there's something about a deed. The deed is done. Pip, pip, too late in this English accent. And good day, my liege. Jolly good St. Bloopington's day to you. Then we cut to Eleanor, or Simone sees Eleanor eating her cake and hiding behind a tree. And Simone plays the role of a truth teller, but in a really, I mean, this is a really powerful scene for me, if you really, especially once you watch it like the fifth or sixth time. Because you really see this exchange of equals, and it's like they're both matured. Like Simone is telling the truth, but also giving Eleanor a couple, they're throwing some shade, burning Eleanor, because she's not happy about it. So she's not glossing or sugarcoating the truth, but she's doing it as a true friend, I think. And Eleanor can actually handle the criticism and the true emotion of Simone, which I would have folded like a house of cards. But Eleanor says, sweet burn. She also wipes her hands on a leaf, or solid burn, she says. And Simone, she says, well, what do you think it is? And Simone kind of says, well, once we were me versus us, everybody, you know, she goes, the bootstrapping and just making it on your own. Then we started sharing resources. And then it became kind of a current struggle. We have us versus them. Can we treat all other groups as equals? And she kind of said, like Steve Austin fans versus The Rock fans. And Eleanor's a Steve Austin fan. And she says, Eleanor, it seems like you're still in the me versus us stage. This is your first group that folded into your self-identity. And Eleanor says, well, me needs to go apologize to us. And they have a big hug. And it's nice. Eleanor tries to give a true apology. Point is, I'm sorry. I don't give apologies, but I am. I'm going to miss you guys. And they say the same thing. And they say, well, let's have a reunion. And they say, well, maybe in Jacksonville or, wherever Tahani's, helicopter yachts are. And Michael Wilder scenes, something, but it, she says, he says, time to park the snowplow. I think maybe Janet says that to him. Oh, yeah, he's getting these wild schemes. Janet tells him the truth. Time to park the snowplow. Let's push reset on this. And Michael goes, that's a great idea. We'll push reset. And Janet says, you don't even know how to do that. Michael says, I'll figure it out. Again, it goes to these people are the most important. No more waiting. This is all we have. We have to try. And then he says, so let's go. And they hit the button, and then it cuts to the portal opens, but our crew is there, the Brainy Bunch. And they say, WTF. And the episode, what a cliffhanger. Great one, though. It says, can't wait for next week. Is they kind of sit there and say, oh, yeah, I wonder what's up with that portal to another world. Okay, so a lot of interesting stuff came up here in this episode. And let's take a look at all of it. Let's see. The first thing was as prefrontal medial cortex. What was it? Let's see. This is from the Journal of Neuroscience. It looks like it's loading. Yeah, the Journal of Neuroscience. And this is just a little bit. I guess it's an article from 17th of June 2009. The role of the ventral medial prefrontal cortex in social decision making. Convergent evidence has revealed that the ventromedial prefrontal cortex is important for social decision making. However, its exact function is still under debate. People are studying it, studying people is one way to learn about the role and how, if it's not working right, how does that affect things? What if it's not easy for people to make value-based decisions? Some studies cover that. Some studies cover people that don't worry about future stuff or are primarily guided by intermediate gains. They say, okay, some people, range of people on social tasks, moral judgment, economic gains, irrationality or lack of emotional reactions, however, they suggest, in the recent article of the Journal of Neuroscience, the authors employ a model-based approach using three different economic gains. So this could be coming up in this season. The dictator game, ultimatum game, and the trust game. In each game, there's one who... So it's just interesting. I'll link to it to check out. A very, article beyond me. An article a little bit beyond me. You know what's a little bit easier for me to read? It's Wikipedia. And this is about the Jacksonville Jaguars, an American professional football franchise in Jacksonville, Florida. They're in the NFL in the AFC South Division, and they play their games at a TIAA Bank Field. They joined with Carolina Panthers in as expansion teams for the 1995 season. They won division championships in 1998 and 1999 as members of the now-defunct AFC Central. And as 2017, as members of the AFC South, and have qualified for the playoffs 7 times. Most recently in 2017, after a 10-season drought. From their inception to 2011, they are owned by Wayne Weaver. Let's see. In 1989, a group of Touchdown Jacksonville was kind of trying to get people to bring the thing. Let's see, 94, they had Tom Coughlin as the coach of the Jaguars. Let's get to this. I think we'll talk about Blake Bortles, but this has a lot of history. Wow. Then they had Jack Del Rio. Oh, yeah, we'll just talk about this year because that's when the present high point 2013, they were 4-12. So that's not good. But let's see. In 2014, the Jaguars selected Blake Bortles from the University of Central Florida and Marquise Lee from University of Southern California. And so then, let's see, 2017, with plenty of cap space to work with, Jacksonville splurged in free agency, adding a defensive tackle Malik Jackson from Denver Broncos. Like a lot of new players, top 10 talents. They fell in the second round. Oh, no, in 26 October, they beat the Colts in an international game. Yeah, but then their coach lost. They lost 9 games in a row. In 2017, they said interim coach Doug Marrone, who coached Syracuse University, I think, was going to be the new head coach. Let's see, Tom Coughlin was going to be like some executive. They went on week 15, they beat the Texans, they clinched their first playoff appearance. They beat the Buffalo Bills in their first playoff win. Then they beat the Steelers in Heinz Field. And then they lost to the Patriots. Let's see. Their logos, a silver helmet, teal, gold, and silver with black accents are their colors. Gold leaping jaguar. One of the their main sponsor says, that looks like too much. That's not our logo. That looks like a logo of one of our competitors. Let's see. They figured that out. There's a little bit about it. There's a great episode of 99PI about sports uniforms. I think it's mostly about NBA uniforms, but you should check that out. What about St. John's College? Because I never did look it up. It's St. John's College at the University of Sydney, or the College of St. John's the Evangelist, a residential college within the University of Sydney. Established in 1857, it's the oldest Roman Catholic and second oldest university college in Australia. It's a co-educational community of 250 undergraduate and postgraduate students. So people will probably know Chidi pretty well there. It's a nice small school. It was established as a Benedictine foundation by Archbishop Polding, who had formerly been an English Benedictine monk at Downside Abbey. And the English Benedictines were prominent in raising public support for the founding of St. John's. The carved Gothic-style reliquary box in the chapel. Okay, that's interesting. So it's just a little bit about it. Architecture, here it is. In February 1859, William Wilkinson Wardell, the architect of St. Mary's Cathedral in Sydney and St. Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne, was appointed the architect of St. John's College. Working from his designs for Melbourne, he grew up general plans and sent them sandstone three-story Gothic revival building on an H-shaped plan. So a little bit about you link through that's on Wikipedia too. Also in New York City, I did not study here, but I thought about it. St. John's University. Is a Roman Catholic research university in New York City, founded by the Congregation of the Mission in 1870. It's in Brooklyn. It was originally located in Brooklyn, and then it was relocated to Queens. Also has campuses in Staten Island, Manhattan, and Rome, Italy. and a graduate center on Long Island, 5 undergraduate schools, 6 graduate schools. In 2016, it had 16,000 undergraduate and 4,600 graduate students. Offers more than 100 programs and certificates. The St. John's Vincentian Fathers are the ones that founded that one, based on the works of St. Vincent de Paul, who's a patron saint of Christian charity. I don't know. It was, and they were also in the Big East, which was like Luke Arnesek was their coach. So when I was growing up watching basketball, they were a big competitor. Okay, let's look up stuff about a birth order, because I don't know if Larry Hemsworth was the oldest or the youngest or middle child, but this is over at psychologies.co.uk from 2012. He talks about the birth order effect, whether you're first, middle, or youngest child, it's outside of your control, but can it, does it? Yes, it does play a significant part in your formulation. Surely these things aren't set before we get started, or are they? You know, this is like a little bit of a, this is written, it's said by the team, but it looks like it's written by one person, because they already had 2 daughters, 5 and 6, and they're about to add a 3rd baby to the mix. Let's see, the importance of birth order was first set out by Austrian psychologist Alfred Adler. Michael Gross, an Alderian-trained parenting expert and author of Why Firstborns Rule the World and Lastborns Want to Change It, explains the basics. This is a paraphrase, because, Darwin had it going, from we start, we're trying to do that thing, whether it's love or food or affection, So firstborn historically are more likely to reproduce as adults, be a little bit tougher. They're their parents' blue chip security, whose birth is most eagerly anticipated. Now, don't let any of this, get to you. It's just a talk. Typical firstborns are approval. I'm the firstborn, by the way, approval seekers. They've been showered with attention. I just want to, I don't let, like, I'm not like this. I'm not, though, I say, I want to be. Educational achievement was highest in the firstborns, not in my case. Diminished further down. It's just true. All my siblings did better than me. I was not a good student. I'm kind of of average intellect compared to my siblings, who a lot of them are very intellectual. I'm more of a, I have my positive qualities, don't worry. World leaders are, a lot of them are firstborn children. Sometimes they can be not happy about their siblings. Middle, they're kind of stuck in the middle, as they say, but they tend to be more relaxed. Is a typical case. Affability comes at a price, because they might not have the same competitive drive. This is just a basic summary. The youngest, they're likely to question the order of things and develop a revolutionary personality. They're the babies of the family and may grow up expecting others to take responsibility. They are not life's volunteers. It says Gross. They're more likely to put others in service. And then they admit, this could be a bit, different than what we expect. But here's some famous people. Both Bill and Hillary Clinton are first. George W. Kylie Minogue, most importantly, is firstborn. She knows Tahani. Only children, Churchill, Roosevelt, Sartre, Sinatra, Bacharach. Interesting range of people they selected. Middle children, many middle children work in retail sales, fashion, and advertising, or caring professions. Stella McCartney, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kate Blanchett, Emily Bronte, Princess Di. Last Children, Rebels, Joan of Arc, Gandhi. This is, holy cow, Darwin and Chaplin, and also Hugh Grant. So that's a little bit about birth order. We'll find out about these Hemsworth's birth order right now as we go to BuzzFeed to start with the 24 facts you never knew about the Hemsworth brothers. Now, this was written in 2014, so not all of it's up to date, because this says there's a third Hemsworth brother, which we know now because he Luke's on Westworld. At the time, he's the oldest, then Chris, then Liam. Larry's somewhere in there. Despite being the least recognizable Hemsworth brother, Luke was the first to get into acting. Typical, his brother stole the thunder. So handsome. I mean, I'm a Chris. I think Chris is my favorite. No offense to others. But he said, yeah, I don't know. And then he started a flooring business, which his younger brothers worked for before their acting crews took off. Chris moved to the USA first to pursue acting, then Liam. Luke never did give up on acting, and then he was on recurring roles on TV shows. And as we know, then he was on other shows. They were all born in Melbourne, Victoria, but they also lived in the Outback and the Northern Territory before settling on Phillip Island. Chris used his bush upbringing as an inspiration for his role in Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah, they had a lot of fun as kids, playing with each other. Yeah, and they had other things when they were kids. A lot of competition, except when it comes to roles. They try to support each other in their careers as much as possible. Still, Liam and Chris were both up for the part of Thor. Chris didn't get a call back after his audition. Liam made it to the final four, and then in the end, Chris snagged the role. When Chris's first baby, India Rose, was born, Luke, who has four kids, made a video teaching him how to bundle up a baby properly. All three have been on the Aussie soap opera Neighbours, but not at the same time. Liam was in 25 episodes, Chris in one, Luke in 13. They also appeared in two other TV shows. Luke and Liam did. The Elephant Princess. Both of those two were also in the TV show Satisfaction. Chris and Luke were guest stars on The Saddle Club. Liam was in one episode of Home and Away, the show that made Chris famous in Australia. Chris's TV career was definitely when he was on Dancing with the Stars in 2006. Really, I didn't know any of this. Liam was in a music video for the Zac Brown Band. Liam's also loves squirrels. And Liam's, their mom was the health teacher at the school, which could have been awkward. Yeah, but who is, okay, let's run through these. Liam, Chris, and I guess I don't need to as much because you probably know. I just didn't know. I mean, I knew Liam, I guess I was like, oh, that was the dude in Hunger Games. So that's why I repressed him because I was jealous of that role. I guess because I always more identified with Prita. Or PETA, or whatever. Sorry, it's been a while. And I said, that guy's a threat to our, you know, me and PETA. Like, and then PETA, I said, then everybody said, PETA's so cute. And I said, well, now what am I going to do without PETA and the other guy that's super smooth, played by Luke Hemsworth? Oh, no, Liam, excuse me. So that's what I know about Liam. But I think we kind of covered it. He's been in a lot of movies, very successful. As far as I know, great. Super handsome. Oh, he played Gale, was the character in The Hunger Games. Empire State with Emma Roberts. Let's see. All the Hunger Games movies. He was the one who was in Personal Life. Let's get it, he's a very talented person, but yeah, he's the one that's been dated Miley Cyrus. Don't worry. We'll get to lyrics. We'll get to Wrecking Ball here. Chris Hemsworth. And I don't know why I always think it's Helmsworth. So Chris, we've seen him in a lot of things. Thor, he really did in the last movie, Avengers movie. He was really good at the offering humor. He was in the Dustbusters reboot. He's had a pretty good career. He also played Kirk's father in Star Trek, George Kirk. He's had quite a career. He has three children, and he moved from Los Angeles back to Byron Bay, Australia, because he's so successful. He said he doesn't have to be there. Looks like he's in the next MIB movie. So really successful. And then this did happen to me on the first season of Westworld. I said, who is this? This character, I had to look it up on IMDb, Ashley Stubbs, and I was surprised myself. I said, well, that's a Hemsworth, because he was just a very, it was an interesting character, and then it was this very macho, I would say, portrayal, and that ends up with Luke, who is the big brother of the family. It seems like he has that role. I thought I had Wrecking Ball on here. Maybe it comes up later, because next comes up is a book from Wikipedia, Present Age, which is a philosophy concept of Kierkegaard and a formulation of the modern age can be formulated in Kierkegaard's work, Two Ages, a Literary Review. Our age is essentially one of understanding and reflection without passion, momentarily bursting in enthusiasm and shrewdly relapsing into repose. There is no more action or decision in our day. There is no more action or decision in our day than there is perilous delight in swimming in the shallow waters. Kierkegaard argues the present age drains all meaning out of ethical concepts through passionless indolence. Concepts are still used, but are drained of all meaning or virtue, of their detachment from a life view, which is past and generated and produces consistent action. This is published in 1846, and it goes after the press and the public. He is against abstract moments in time or public opinion as a basis for forming relationships. Newspapers were mediating information, and individuals were joining together based on this mediating influence. Same thing is happening now on the internet. Kierkegaard advised that real people retain a concrete identity in the face of abstract public opinion. So it's pretty interesting. You can read more about it. I'll link to that. What about Jacques Lacan? Lacan, 1901 to 1981. So this is not that long ago. French psychoanalyst and psychiatrist who has been called the most controversial psychoanalyst since Freud. Influenced many leading French intellectuals in the 60s and 70s, especially those associated with post-structuralism. So let's get to the juicy stuff here. So he's got his history, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, major concepts. This is pretty dense. I was trying to find something. Three orders, the imaginary, the symbolic, and the real. Talks about desire, drive, error in knowledge, variable length sessions. Let's just read about the relationship with Freud here. Major concepts. Return to Freud. Lacan's Return to Freud emphasizes a renewed attention on the original text of Freud. Oh, so not Floyd. Oh, boy. Including a radical critique of ego psychology. Whereas Lacan's quarrel with object relations as psychoanalysts was a more muted affair, he attempted to restore the notion of object relation, the capital experience that legitimately belongs to it, building upon what he termed the hesitant but controlled work of Madeline Klein. Through her, we know the function of the imaginary primordial enclosure formed by the imago of the mother's body, as well as the notion of the transitional object introduced by Winnicott. The key point for the explanation, question psychoanalytic developments between the 30s and the 70s focus on child's early relation, pre-Oedipal or Kleinian rereading of form, rereading Freud. It says Freud supplies the only valid model. So I don't know. I don't really know anything about it, but interesting, interesting. You know what's more interesting to me is not trying not to sing when I say Chaka Khan. Born Yvette Marie Stevens, American recording artist whose success has spanned 5 decades. I would bump that up to 7. I mean, 7 probably. Known as the Queen of Funk, first R&B artist to have a crossover hit featuring a rapper with I Feel For You in 84. Won 10 Grammys, 70 million records worldwide. And she's like recorded with everybody. I mean, holy mackerel, Rufus, solo, you know, Win Solo, Grandmaster Melly Mel, Stevie Wonder, she's in Steve Winwood, Addicted to Love, I think, oh no, she wasn't in Addicted to Love, really, just, I mean, one of the greats, without a doubt. And now, philosophically, I'm not sure. So I don't know. I would love to go to a talk with Chidi about the difference between Chaka Khan and Jacques Lacan. Let's just talk about Blake Bortles. Quarterback for the Jaguars, born 1992, went to Central Florida. Third pick overall in the 2014 draft. Originally from Florida. Great college career, it looks like. And then, he's had his downs. But in 2017, they picked up the 5th-year option on Bortles' contract. Jason loves him. And he's named the starting quarterback to begin the 2017 season, even though he's in a competition with another quarterback. And he's had some good weeks. He's had some great weeks. But they finished 10-6, third seed in the 2017 playoffs. And this winter, Bortles signed a 3-year, $54 million contract to stay with the Jaguars through 2020. Blake Bortles, Jason loves him. So we probably could too. Okay, let's take a look at PopDust.com because they let's finish this off with a little bit of a Miley. This is from 8/30/13. Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball lyrics. Is it about Liam? And this is written by Pop Dust. In case you missed it, this was in 2014. So Miley's in a different place. This is right when it came out. Wrecking Ball. It's pretty good, they say, or at least a welcome palate cleanser. I like it. I just to listen to it as soon as I'm done recording. But speaking of Liam, what's with the on-again, off-again thing? Well, the song's definitely maybe about him. Let's break it down. We our hearts in vain, we jumped, never asking why. They said, oh, this is a little bit like The Lion King. We kissed, I fell under your spell, love no one could deny. So they said, okay, the first kiss, did you ever say I just walked away? I will always want you. You can't live a lie. Running for my life, I will always want you. What happened? We were just kissing, and now we're not kissing anymore. But now she's trying to beat the ticking clock of fading love and win him back. It came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love. All I wanted was to break your walls. All you ever did was break me. Yeah, you wreck me. You know what? This doesn't look like it. The more Miley chipped away, the more vulnerable she became. It's a really beautiful image. I put you high in the sky. And now you're not coming down. It slowly turned. You let me burn. And now we're ashes on the ground. Now Papta says, okay, it's getting super emo. She built him up, made him feel top of the world. And he didn't return the favor. Then it repeats as a wrecking ball thing. Yeah, I just closed my eyes. Left me crouching in a blazing fall. Miley heightens the core visual. Her emotions for him are pure and new. Never meant to start WAR. I never just wanted you to let me in. Instead of using force, I should have just led you in. Miley clearly took a moment before this verse to step into Liam's shoes. It wasn't me. I didn't mean to. Maybe lead you into my heart. Maybe she'll be keep going up, but then she goes, yeah, you know, then we go back to the chorus, goes back, through the rest of the chorus, and just a classic pop hit. I don't know. I don't know anything really. I really enjoy good pop music, and especially listening with my daughter. So, and Miley has a lot of good pop songs. Let's close it out, though, with Vegemite, just to close it out, more dull notes. It's a thick Australian food spread made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various spice and vegetable additives. It was developed by Cyril Percy Callister in Melbourne, Victoria, in 1922. It's been acquired a few times. It's a spread for sandwiches, toast, crumpet, and cracker biscuits, as well as a filling for pastries. Similar to Marmite, slightly bitter, malty, rich in glutamates, giving it an umami flavor, similar to beef bouillon. And it was following the disruption of imports of Marmite after WW1. That Callister's employer said, hey, Fred Walker and company, this brewery's got the yeast they're getting rid of, make something out of it already. And so he did that. And the name Vegemite was selected out of a hat by his daughter, by Fred Walker's daughter. Let's see, consumption, we went over that, let's see. Is it kosher? Craft contracted. In 2010, it did get a kosher certification. But after some, where people said, I don't like that. It's rich in B vitamins. Its primary ingredients, yeast extract. And yeah, it was originally promoted as a healthy food for children, it was during that time of the WWs. I think I've tried it, but it's been a while, so I'll have to try it. But yeah, that's it. Thanks so much, and good night. All right, I want to thank everybody over on YouTube, Fanny, Tim, I Am Love, thanks, and good night, Cameron, Miley, AG, thank you, thanks, and good night, Ninja, CG, JS, and Sheridan, thank you, thanks, and good night. Ashley, Jess, and Prometheus, thanks, and good night. Dave, Feisty, and Khaleesi, thank you, and good night. Heather, Highlander in Texas, thanks, and good night. Kellen, and Mari, and Wasn't, thanks, and good night. I'm Not, Rainya, Locke, and Jay, thanks, and good night. Sunday, Tad, and Kooky, thanks, and good night. Jay, Autumn, and Pat, thanks, and good night. Nay, Heather and Dogs. Thank you. Thanks. See you tonight. Going, Clary and Conquer. Thanks. See you tonight. Locke, Carl, and First. Thank you. Thanks. See you tonight. Casey Steele. And it's thanks tonight. Fully, Yiru, and Uni. Thanks and good night. Jude's be superior. Noah, thanks and good night. Kitty, Essential, and Taya. Thanks and good night. Nima, Haley, and Yellow. Thanks and good night. G Blake. Itmar and Megan, thanks, and good night. Molly, Peggy, and Volley, thanks, and good night. Noah, Patchouli, and DP, thanks. Sherlock, Crispy, and Laura, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for commenting on the YouTube. I'm definitely behind on the YouTube comments, but thanks for all the commenting over there, and good night. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.